uploading this episode of Brad Nels What's News, where we give you the news you didn't know you needed to know. I'm Nels Nelson, and I'm joined for the first time ever on the intro by my co-host, Brad Sonnenberg. Brad, welcome to the intro.
Man, I gotta tell you something.
Okay.
Oh, I forgot what I was gonna say.
All right. Well, we had a...
Hey, I just remember what I was gonna say. So, yeah, man, there's a great show coming up. If you want to listen to it, what you're doing right now, so...
Yeah, you're in now. You're in for a penny, in for a pound.
You think... You listen. You start listening to this at first, and I've always kind of told people this show is a bit like Wendy's, like the West restaurant, where it's like, but if you're hungry, you'll eat it. Well, guess what? You know what makes you hungry? Smelling the food. This intro is like a little sniff of the nuggets. You just sniffed those nuggets, those fries, that Caesar salad plastic box that's been stored in the fridge for 6 years. This, you just got a whiff of all of that. Now you're hungry, and now you're gonna eat what we give you. You're gonna shove it down your little gullet. Welcome to Wendy's.
Welcome to Wendy's. Brad Nels, What's News, episode 32. Do you remember what we're titling it?
I don't want to spoil it.
Don't spoil it. They obviously know because they clicked on the show.
Well, that's true.
So they know it's too messed out to check for traffic.
It's like YouTubers when they're like, so anyways, surprise, what we're going to do for the video today is like, bro, it's in the title. Why do you think I clicked on the video?
We're going to open up every Barbie I had delivered to me. Yeah, surprise, it's in the, that's why I clicked on it. I love watching people open Barbies. Anyway, today on this episode, Brad, we talk about OJ talk. OJ Simpson, not orange juice, Burger King and quitting Burger King, how we'd quit, you and I, if we quit our jobs. Remember those conversations?
I do. They were reasonably reasoned, I think, within the past couple hours.
Yeah, we do the middle of the show where, you know, we do local or geographical location. You do the weather. Guess the song. I'm not going to let the people know. They have to listen to see if you get it right or wrong. We also answer, I think, a very existential question in the unqualified advice. We finished off with cockroaches and field hockey, time travelers, and we have a quick little 5 minutes on Batman, I think. And don't forget the Vegreville PP, Brad. So
the PP features very prominently in
this. Yes. Maybe that should have been the title. Maybe we'd have got more Vegreville listeners. I don't know. Hey, as always, I'm grateful for you downloading the show and listening to this episode. Brad, I think you're grateful, even though you called our show the Wendy's. You don't really want us. It's not good for you, but you need it.
Just grateful. Hungry, you know, it's there.
Yeah.
And hey, the Frosties are delicious. The Frosties are like the 5 minutes from this show that's classic, you know?
And which 5 minutes is the Frosty?
I don't know which Frosty. I'd have to reevaluate the meal, you know?
Well, we can't say because they'll just skip to that. Like 42 minutes, 30 seconds in, that's where the Frosty is.
Okay, guys, you gotta find the Frosty for yourself.
We're not like Wendy's in that sense. We have a Frosty for everybody. You just have to find it. It's like a treasure hunt. That's why everyone comes to our restaurant. Brad Nels, What's News? Because you have to find the Frosty. It's fun. It's like a little treasure hunt. We don't tell you where to look. You just tear apart the whole restaurant looking for it. Right?
If we told you... Can you imagine...
Open kitchen! Find the Frosty!
Can you imagine going to a restaurant and ordering food? And they're like, yeah, man, you gotta find it. You gotta go look for it. Anyways...
Okay, we put your order in. Go find it. Anyway, but thank you for downloading this. Brad, this intro is awesome. 4 minutes is long enough. Like, it's time for them.
This 5 minutes was the Frosty.
This is the appetizer.
It's all downhill from here.
You're getting
stale fries, and you better believe we don't have ketchup. Only soy sauce. I hope you like soy sauce.
I mean, you can find Brad Nels What's News on Facebook. Please go on there and tell us if you went past the best 5 minutes of the show to listen to the other 59 minutes, because we appreciate it. So thanks, Brad, for doing this, joining me for the intro. We got to do it again. We managed to keep it under 5 minutes. I'm impressed. Go eat your supper. I'm going to go fold laundry. If you're wondering what we're talking about, listen to the show. For Brad and for myself, this is Brad Nels. What's News? Episode 32, too methed out to check for traffic. Bye-bye. I mean, no, welcome. Welcome, right?
Welcome, yes. No,
welcome welcome at the welcome. Intro.
Hey, welcome. See you in a bit.
See you in a bit. Bye-bye for now. Brad Sonnenberg, how are you?
I'll tell you something.
I'm sure you will.
Good.
Excellent. That is a great story.
Yeah. That's
what I got right now, man. I was expecting a long, long story. I don't know why, but I'm not surprised at the shortness of yours.
I have a history for brevity.
How's things? How's life? How's everything? It's been ages since we did an episode. Ages since we talked. I mean, we talked last weekend at the fair for 32 seconds.
That's true. And I went over to your house to swap those hockey cards.
Yeah, so we spent some time there. But other than that, how's life?
That's like a couple months.
How's life treating you?
Well, you know, I'm starting university right away. I'm getting all my stuff packed up. And honestly, the number one thing is I'm just mad that the second Vegreville finally gets a restaurant that's going to be open past 9 o'clock in the new subway that they're building and all that. I got to move away.
24 hours. And it has a drive through apparently.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. Man, the Pasanka Plaza, or as it's been lovingly dubbed, the PP, is going to come in here. And honestly, I mean, I'm happy to be leaving town, but man, I missed out on the PP era. It comes in just after I leave and I'm a little bummed about it, but that's okay. I'm you know, the thing is I'm good, but like, I don't know, of limbo that I've been waiting to end for a long time, and it seems to be finally coming to a close, and just now I'm realizing that it's just even more limbo. So kind of like that. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm excited about the Vegreville PP.
The PP's coming, and you get to live for the PP and all of it.
You know, I'm gonna, with Subway and apparently the Petro-Canada gas station store is gonna do food as well.
Hey,
so hopefully they have like chicken wings and, you know, all the stuff 7-Eleven used to have. That just means I'm gonna look forward to going to the Vegreville PP and getting stuffed.
I'm gonna hit up that PP so hard. I'm gonna be no, and don't put some respect on the liquor store we're gonna get in town.
That yes, what is that? Is that our 12th liquor store? Are we in double digits now? We're getting there. We got Fuse Liquor across the street. We got Salties down the street.
There's not enough alcohol in the world to make up for having to live in Vegreville.
Vegreville's alcohol and store, or liquor store and cannabis store per ratio is, I think, one per every 175 people in town. So if you're thinking of a place to move and you want to be close to a city, but you want the quiet country, drunk, stoned life, Vegreville. I'm waiting for good old Jameson Brown to make that one. Did you like my Jameson Brown voice?
I do.
He's funny. As soon as the radio turns, oh, I'm Jameson Brown. I think we all have a radio voice, but he's really got a radio voice.
Not anymore. Well, he still has the voice, but he's not working at the station anymore. Did you know
No, I know. He's in charge of the town's, town of Vegreville's media
and promotions. Picture that ad.
Yeah.
Get drunk and stoned,
you know, with 175 of your closest neighbors.
And if you don't want to pay full price for your weed, there's some junky 17-year-old on every corner you can pick some up from.
You know what? There's probably some junky 27-year-olds. I mean, whenever I see an adult riding around at like 1 p.m. with a backpack on his bicycle, it's like, dude, I mean, yeah.
He's always got like... I mean, I've seen quite a lot of them around town, but they tend to wear like safety jackets or something like that.
Yeah. Like they're biking to a construction site.
Yeah. But it's so like everybody can see them because they're too methed out to check out traffic. Man,
there you go. We found the title of our episode 32, Too Methed Out to Check for Traffic.
Oh,
is
man.
Meth spelt like meth apostrophe deed, methed, or ED, methed?
Methed.
Out.
I feel like I like it with the apostrophe. I think that's
funny. Okay. We'll go that way. Too methed out to check for traffic.
Too methed out to check for traffic. Anyway,
even though it's not a news story, what the hell? Methed out to check for traffic. I like that one. We're gonna get a big influx of listeners based on this one. We're ripping on Vegreville, our hometown, but no one in this town listens to the fucking show. So
that's
hey,
true.
No one retweets the episode. I've hashtag Vegreville made in Vegreville. Nobody retweets it. Either we haven't figured out Twitter in Vegreville and social media, or no one gives a shit. So if you are listening from Vegreville, say hi to Brad and I next time. Tell us you've never been methed out, too methed out to check for traffic. Vegreville, it's a great town. Home of the world's largest Ukrainian Pesanka Easter egg. I'm just messing that up for people in Azerbaijan. Our fans, shout out to our fans in Azerbaijan.
They've been waiting. They've been loyal. They've been waiting for an episode for months. Just a drop of water in the endless desert of tragedy that is our news cycle. Hey, did somebody say news cycle? Oh, my goodness. What a segue. Yeah.
Well, I'm not going to talk about anything crazy happening in the world because it's always crazy. So, yeah, I'm glad to be back on with you. It's good. It's good to talk to you. Good to chat with you.
Just, I'm not going to use this as one of my stories, but speaking of the, I mean, everybody I'm sure is aware of all the Taliban nonsense. There was a story, I'm not going to put it in my three, but I thought it just deserved a little bit of an honorable mention of the Taliban using this opportunity to check out the local amusement parks in Afghanistan. I'm not quite sure what to make of that, but hey, you know,
weren't they all
tired of committing war crimes?
Wait, are you telling me all the, you know, nations that invaded Afghanistan in 2001, there wasn't already amusement parks? Like the US, Canada, England, Russia, all of them, they all just built amusement parks in the last 20 years?
I like to think that's the secret reason why that went. It's like Bush is just like, yeah, man, oil's great. They got a killer water slide. My God.
Oil's great. You know, all these poppy fields are great. But look at their amusement parks. We got to invade
that
them.
Coaster, dude. Have you seen the? Oh man.
Too methed out to check for traffic or amusement parks. The Taliban. There you go. Hey, heyo.
This might be unpopular, but I don't like the Taliban.
I don't know anyone who does. I mean, when you're
they suck.
When your country's inhabitants, so fellow Afghanis, are clinging to American military planes that they're falling to their deaths as the planes leave, I don't think anyone likes you.
Although they just banned the COVID vaccine, so
did they?
I think they might find a decent base of support here in Alberta.
Well, anywhere in the world. I mean,
they banned gay marriage.
Yep.
There's some other stuff there. I think I know a couple people who might support them. But
well,
man,
hey, I'm just gonna say they're yeah. Hey, I didn't get to live through the fall of Saigon. Neither did you.
So here we go.
Live through the fall of Afghanistan instead.
All right. So enough talking about murder. I want to get to my first story about O.J. Simpson.
I love that you're like, it's not one of my three stories. Anyway, go ahead. First story, bro.
I don't have three stories. I had three, that was like,
you always have three, maybe four or ten.
I don't know. Sometimes I have none. It just depends. But this one was breaking news.
You're the star of the show. Your name's first, so you can have as many stories as you want.
I just jumped in front of you. That's okay. I needed to share this story.
Give her.
All right. This is one I've seen, and I believe you sent me an Instagram thing of it as well.
Oh, you're going to blame me for this, are you?
Right on the show. But no, I saw this story as soon as it comes out, and I've been following it. O.J. Simpson avoids Los Angeles because he's scared to run into the real killer, despite being the civilly liable killer.
Because L.A. is the only place that has mirrors in the world. He might see himself.
Yeah. OJ, he says he's afraid he's gonna run into killed his ex-wife.
Allegedly, I should say. I mean, it wasn't criminal. Yeah. It was only civil.
Despite many people believing he did it, Simpson says they all have it wrong. He calls the incident the LA thing, saying, "Unfortunately, some people wrongfully believe something, but I moved on. I still think I'm a good guy. I didn't let it change me." See, that makes you sound like a murderer, OJ.
I don't think
I'm a good guy. Okay, having your wife murdered by somebody else wouldn't affect your status as a good guy. If you're accused of murder and you have to say, "I still think I'm a good guy," that makes you sound like a murderer, OJ.
You know, I admire his man ability to compartmentalize that issue in his life. You know, the LA thing. Just in his brain, it's on a shelf in a box with Sharpie. He says, LA thing. He's like, don't even go there. Don't even open that box. I'm a good guy. I'm a nice guy. I'm a great guy. Hey.
I didn't let it. He goes on to say, I didn't let it change me. It did for a while. I was angry for a while, but I
then it changed you. You let it change you.
This is the best quote of the whole thing. But I treat everybody the way I want to be treated. You want to be murdered, OJ? What?
I don't think that's what Jesus meant when he said, you know, do unto others as you have them do unto you.
Does OJ, like, bro, he said he's living a good life, you know.
He's living a good life, hey.
When questioned about Simpson, he says, the thought of taking a knife into plunging it in another person that you love and care about, even you're angry with, takes a hell of a lot. Well, that what? That's not a. That's not like a like.
Sounds like somebody who has experience would know
exactly.
That.
Exactly. It's like he's. You know,
let me tell you what, Bob. It takes a lot. It takes a lot to plunge a knife 8 inches of steel into someone's chest repeatedly. Let me tell you. Well, how do you know that, OJ? Well, I don't know. Because I wrote a book. If I did it, this is how I would have done it.
You know, I've never read If I Did It. I should probably do that. I feel like it'd be a great read.
I feel like number one thing, step one, If I Did It, how I would do it. Get gloves that fit. That's his book. That's it. Book's over. It's just written in large print, so it looks like a full book.
Imagine having an experience that painful and talking about it like it's that painful and writing a hypothetical book about how you would have murdered your wife. Supposedly the most painful incident in your life that you were falsely accused of. You decide to write a book about how you would have done it, imagining killing her in graphic detail.
Yeah, it's, you know, hey, I mean, the guy he's got to be the worst criminal ever. He didn't go to jail for murder, but he went to jail for stealing his hockey cards or baseball football cards.
Yeah, his football cards.
He was then like in LA or Las Vegas. So that's the Las Vegas thing.
Maybe that was. I like to think it was in Los Angeles. That was the Los Angeles incident.
He doesn't. Yeah, no, I'm fine with my ex-wife being stabbed to death and her lover. It's the fact that I had to break into a no-tell motel to steal my signed autographed football card back from a guy. That's the LA thing.
You're OJ. You could just sign yourself a new one. Anyway.
Yeah, like you probably call the card company up and they'll just print you a new one. You sign it and there you go.
Yeah, you're OJ Simpson. Anyways, what's your first story?
All right. Well, we're going to head down to Lincoln, Nebraska, because, hey, it's Nebraska. Story reads, we all quit. Burger King's disgruntled staff quits via giant sign. Just says under Burger King, we all quit. Sorry for the inconvenience. Fed up Burger King staff walked off the job in Lincoln, Nebraska last week after giving their boss and everyone else an approximately 50-foot-high resignation letter. We all quit, the sign said outside the Nebraska restaurant Monday. Sorry for the inconvenience. It was a crowning moment for the now former Burger King employees who pulled the stunt on their last day of work. They recently gave notice that they were quitting due to poor conditions at the restaurant, including a broken air conditioner and understaffing issues. Store general manager Rachel Flores told KLKN that she quit over sweltering conditions in the kitchen where temperatures reached the mid 30 degrees Celsius range. I mean, I picked up garbage in mid 40s, but hey, she says she was recently hospitalized for dehydration after working a shift in that heat, and her boss called her a baby after the ordeal.
Well, why don't you drink some water?
Yeah, like if they had cold fountain pop and water. We quit because upper management was a joke and had no care for me or my employees, she wrote on Facebook. I put in my 2 weeks and so did many others. Why are you even giving them 2 weeks? If it's that bad, just quit. Like, they can fire you without giving you 2 weeks.
I mean, I think the understaffing thing speaks for itself, because if they were to able to all quit on the same shift and they were just all there at once, that's kind of funny. Like,
oh, man. Work Friday. Okay. Why? We're going to put up. The boss actually put up in person to fire her and take her keys from putting that sign. He then had to change the sign to read, "Now hiring, flexible schedules." Except today. We need you to work today. hey, there you go. I mean, it's like when the Anthony Hendy got done, finally, in Edmonton, and they changed the construction sign on the side to say, "We're done, bitches." Yeah, that's true. True. I'm not making that up. What's your second story? Because I know you have more than one more after this, Brad.
I have only two good stories. So
okay, let's do this then. If you had to quit any job, just a job as you just hated, whatever, for whatever, what would you do to quit?
What would I do to quit? How would you quit? Actively trying to spite the people.
Yeah, you're not giving notice. You're just mad. I want to get over my boss and management. They're all gonna. What would you do? Like, what would you do? Because I have a couple of great quitting stories in the last few months I've seen in the garbage industry I want to share. So what would you do, Brad?
What industry am I working in?
Well, I don't know. Pick an industry.
Well, give me an industry.
Okay, fine. You're working like at a Burger King or a McDonald's, or you're in the Burger King, like fast food. What would you do?
I think the best way you could hurt like a particular business or whatever and just have it be like really funny is just literally put in like a open kitchen sign, like just say, like,
yeah, everything,
like, ice cream machines open, dude, go for it. That, or I think it would be really funny, right? Because they got the freezers there. I think it'd be really funny to just because they always have so many containers and buckets in these two things. Is literally just bring a bucket and just pee in it, just a bucket full of pee, and put it in the freezer, and no one's gonna think twice about it. And someday, someone's going to be like, "Hey, man, what's the deal with this bucket?" And it's just a bucket of piss. I think that's just really a
frozen bucket of piss.
Just no context or anything.
It's like working in a place like Dairy Queen. They have the coolers out front for you to grab your own. So, yeah, it's free. Help yourself day.
Go for it. Where it's a special we're having today. I'd have to do it when the manager wasn't there. But if it was bad enough to make me quit like that, I'm sure a lot of the other employees would feel the same way and would let it happen.
Yeah.
Like just genuinely just let people in for free.
Or just let the food like the homeless shelter know. This address, we're having open kitchen for anybody who's homeless. Just come on in. We'll feed you all the Big Macs you want. All the Whoppers, all the Baconators, everything. All the ice cream you want. Just put your mouth under there. Oh, just give her. Oh, man. That'd be a good way to quit. Manager comes back from their morning jog or whatever, and they're like, what's the smell in this place? I bet you there'd be a few buckets of piss to join your bucket of piss. Freezing away in the chilling cooler.
That's funny.
Anyway, this year we've had at work, I work in the garbage industry still, one of my favorite jobs I've ever had. We had one guy quit and might have been just before the new year, just after the new year. He was mad because he couldn't read his pay stub properly and he wasn't happy with what he thought he should be paid and what the government was taking from him and all this stuff. And so he's asking the supervisor, and they're like, talk to HR, and HR's because they can't explain it to him anymore because he's not listening. HR's like, well, we explain it to him. Like, he's just not listening. I don't know what more we can do. So he's getting so mad that he's like, just started swearing and yelling at the supervisor. And then he walks out, and then he walks back in 2 minutes later. He goes, swears some more. You guys are no good this, no good that. And he rips, takes his work shirt off. So we wear high visible, bright green work shirts with the reflector. Yeah, takes it off and throws it on the ground. I quit, and walks out. And it was hilarious. And about 3 months, his brother got hired, like 2 weeks after him, and his brother was fine, great worker. And then literally same issue with the pay stub. And the underlying issue is they come from the States as well. So in the States, you have your 401k or whatever, and you can withdraw from at any time. So they thought everything that went to taxes was actually their money to draw from anytime they wanted their income tax. And so everyone's trying to explain to them, in Canada, you pay taxes. You came from Arizona, you don't pay taxes. You pay taxes here. That doesn't come back to you. You can do taxes at the end of the year. You might get some back, but you can't draw from it. So he's like, you fix it now. This is his brother, like 3-4 months later. You fix it now. And he's not talking to our supervisors. He's talking to our operations manager, right? So next level up management, who's there for a meeting one morning. He's like, listen, you fat fucking pig, I want my... And first off, this ops manager is like, whoa, calm down. Give me some respect. He's like, you've done nothing to deserve my respect. It's like, I don't think he understands the hierarchy and how management levels work. You come here and earn management's respect. They have their your respect from the start because they're in management, right? They've done what they need to do to get there. And he called him a fat fucking pig and got fired. And yeah, those are my two, both brothers. So they both quit in dramatic fashion. I mean, the way I think everyone wants to quit is like throw your shit on the floor and walk. Except I'm going to go one step further. I'm taking my shirt off, the company pants they give me, and throw them all on the shore and walk out in my underwear. I don't give a shit. My boots and my underwear.
You could be one of the naked Edmonton joggers.
Yeah, I can be on YEG naked Nudmonton there. And man walks out of company shop in his boots and underwear. I'll make sure it's tidy whitey day too. I'll just put them on. Meg will be like, what are you doing? Well, I'm quitting today, putting on tidy whities. I just think, yeah, there's great ways. I think we've all dreamt of ways we'd want to quit our job. You know, there's jobs you have and you're like, oh man, if I ever won the lottery, this is what I would do, right? And if I ever won the $70 million, I would stand up the block from my place of work and have 40 bags. So there's about 40 of us in our line of business with $5,000 in each bag. And I'd stop the guys as they're coming in and be like, hey, $5,000 just to turn around and go home. And then the bosses would be like, where is everybody? And oh, that'd be hilarious. No one showed in. They all called in sick. What? How many people would quit for $5,000? Not quit, just take one day off. One day off here.
Yeah, it would take like a week off, so the whole garbage system collapses in on itself.
Here, no, one day it would just collapse in on itself, man. We do like a quarter of the city. You know how much garbage a quarter of a city makes in a day? And here's your $5,000. Just turn around and go home and at noon call and say you were throwing up or shitting yourself. $5,000, $10,000, whatever it takes. I mean, it'd be worth it. I'd pay $400,000 just to quit that way and then walk in and be the only guy who goes, Nels, hey, you're here. Oh, thank God. Oh, man, we're scrambling. And all the bosses are getting in trucks and they're trying to call other lines of businesses to get helpers. And I'd be like, oh, I'm just letting you know I'm done. I quit.
You've thought this out a lot.
Yeah, not because I don't like my bosses, but if I won $70 million, I mean, do you think my mind's going to be focused on driving a big-ass garbage truck around the streets of Edmonton? So I guess if my boss has ever listened to the show, they'll know. They're going to know how I'll survive. Hey, I got $70 million. I'll have season tickets and, you know, I'll pump in $25 million to help out with salary. I'll just be private contractor. We talked about this before. Well, private contract players. He'll be my mercenary. I'll pay Connor McDavid to be a mercenary. He'll go play wherever I tell him to play. You know, he'll just, oh, you'll play for the Oilers this year, this month. Go ahead, play for the Oilers. Start a new trend in hockey and sports, private contracting. I'll sponsor Connor McDavid.
I mean, joke aside, if teams, I mean, obviously it would suck, but like if teams could do like a thing where like you could lend a player to another team for like a playoff run or something.
In
like
some
that.
Sports, you can do that. Like rugby, that happens, soccer or football if you're European or the rest of the world that's not North America. You can loan players. AHL, they'll loan players to other AHL teams. Can you imagine? They're like, ah, man, Connor McDavid's last year hasn't won a cup. Let's loan him to the cup contenders, you know, or whatever. Yeah, so,
I mean, it would be interesting because obviously they're only getting him for like a playoff series, but like, or just like a year, but you could loan them for that year.
Yeah. What I always find cool, like in rugby over in Europe, you become a free agent in the middle of the season and you can sign for your new team that you're going to play in the next season. So let's say you play for one team A and you sign with team E, but you still have to finish the season with team A and then go through the playoffs if you make it and all that, and then go to team E in the fall. Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Can you imagine if hockey players or baseball players and that, or football players, basketball players over here signed in the middle of the season with their other team, but it doesn't start until the next season? So now you have to play your new team, but you're still on the other team.
That'd be kind of awkward.
Yeah, but that's how it works. It's kind of an interesting wrinkle. And they'll be like, oh, here's Brad Sonnenberg. He's going to be playing for team E next year, but he's got to finish off this year and finish strong, right? Because, you know, you have a raise coming your way and all. That's just weird. It's just a weird system. So, hey, you know, we did a little OJ talk, Burger King quit, workers quitting and how we quit. So if my bosses are listening, I love my job. I don't plan on quitting unless I win the lottery, which I wouldn't tell you. But you'd know because no one would be showing up the next
day. As long as you can toss one of those bags my way, I won't show up to the place either.
It's 6:45 to 6 a.m. Just drive by my place of work. I'll send you the address, Brad. You can get your bag of money too. But I'll tell you this, there's about 3 or 4 guys I may not give the money to, so they just show up and have to work all day, short staff.
Oh, that'd be hilarious.
We all have that.
How early do you think you'd have to start like making the rounds to get people to like? Because the thing is also if everybody's kind of showing up in the chaos, you got to make sure nobody slips through the cracks, right?
Oh, I would send out a message. I would make sure, hey guys, before you go in the parking lot, I'll be up the street tomorrow. Just make sure you stop in to say hello because I'm quitting. You know, and they'll think, oh, he's got donuts and coffee for us. All right. I'll probably have donuts and coffee too. Man, we're going down fantasy road here. But yeah, I don't buy lottery tickets to my employers and all my fellow workers. I buy like one a year. So my chances of winning are even more than slim than none. So I just find it's a friend of mine once said it's a stupid tax buying lottery tickets. It's just a tax on the stupid. So I kind of agree.
Oh, absolutely.
So work, my company, we don't mention them because, hey, I don't want to, you know, mention because anything that's talked about on this show has nothing to do with the company I work for. You'll know when I'm quitting if I win the lottery, and you'll know I won the lottery because I won't be at work the next day. And a few other people might not either. I guess they'll get fired now that they know the plan. Dang it. Oh, well, it'd be worth it. It's the middle of the show.
The middle of the show.
What happens at the middle of the show?
There's approximately half of it done.
Yeah, approximately. And we have now in the middle of our show, we have 1, 2, 3, 4 segments in the middle of the show. I mean, it's becoming the middle of the show is the show. If you think about Brad Nels, what's news, the stories we give at the before the middle and after the middle are like the pieces of bread. And all the good stuff is in the middle of the show. But we make it with really good bread, though. Like the best bread you're ever going to get for your mind and your soul. That's what we aim for now. Brad Nels, what's news? Where we give you the best food for your soul.
News. The meat of the sandwich. The first meat of the sandwich is the weather.
The venerable pee-pee.
The first meat of the sandwich is the weather, which I don't really have much of a weather report to do. Because in case you noticed, it's kind of hot outside.
Actually, yeah, it's kind of been hot.
It's kind of hot. I will say, I accidentally forgot to set my alarm, and I slept in for work today, which is fine because I didn't have anything to do there anyways. But literally, I got outside, and it was late. And the second I started walking, which is about when I should have been there, it starts just pouring rain. And then I felt like sort of a cosmic middle finger to myself.
See, leave for work, pouring rain, get to work, sun comes out.
Pretty much.
So if you'd been up on time, you would have missed it all.
I would have. I would have missed all the rain, which I would have been okay with, but because I have to walk. So.
So what you're saying is the weather is weather?
The weather's weather. It's out there. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I haven't been outside in a couple hours, but I think it's out there. Who knows for how much longer? The planet's kind of screwed. But for right now, there is arguably weather.
Little foreshadowing. I have my second story is about a man from the future forecasting a major weather event or planet event. So the weather is weather. We have to get another guest on because last time Reggie was on, episode 30, Mr. Divisible by 5, God rest his soul. You know, he died years ago. But we keep having him on the show.
I haven't heard from him. We just kind of have just old recordings of him, and it somehow just fits in the conversation.
He did a traffic report, remember, from the helicopter. So we should just have him come on to do a traffic report and then kick him off the show every show. Anyway, looking forward to it. But Brad, thanks for the weather. It's out there.
It's out there.
Random geographic location. Here we go. Gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve. Gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve is an American national park that protects portions of the Brooks Range in northern Alaska. The park is in the northernmost northernmost national park, I can't read now, in the United States, situated entirely north of the Arctic Circle. The park is the second largest in the U.S. at 8,472,506 acres. Do you know how big that is
in square kilometers? Bigger than
the Vegreville PP.
It's bigger than that. I think it's bigger than less than that.
Slightly larger in area than all of Belgium. Huh. We have listeners who listen to the show once in a while, every blue moon, from Belgium. So shout out. That's how big Gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve is. Gates of the Arctic was initially designated as a national monument on December 1st, 1978, before being redesignated as a national park and preserve upon passage of the Alaska National Interest Lands Conservation Act in 1980. A large part of the park has additional protection as Gates of the Arctic Wilderness, which covers another 7 million acres. So that's a lot of acres. Two Belgiums up there. That's how big Alaska is. If you're ever wondering, anyone listening around the world, how big Canada, United States are, they're pretty big countries. Like I said, I fly to England. It's a 9-hour flight. 6 of those hours is crossing Canada. So, yeah, it's big. So together with the wilderness area, which adjoins the Notak Wilderness, they form the largest contiguous contiguous. Why is that word messing my brain up? Contiguous wilderness area in the United States together. Look at that. I bumbled my way through it. But Gates of the Arctic National Park and Preserve. Ever been there, Brad?
I can't say that I have. I'm not one to frequent the Arctic. but
yeah.
I might check it out if I ever happen to be up there.
In the Arctic.
I think I'd rather just go to Belgium if I'm being honest with you, but
well, waffles and beer and chocolate. I mean, in Belgium, not in the Arctic. In case you were getting those two mixed up listening. Brad, how big is Canada? How would you explain how big Canada is to somebody, say, in England, where they'll drive 4 hours and spend the night? We'll drive 4 hours for your kid's hockey game and drive back home. We'll drive 8 hours for a family dinner and drive home. How do you explain how big Canada is?
Canada is like burrito sizes at like a locally owned taco chain.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, like big ones.
You go to like taco. It's like, well, you know, you're not going to get like a taco. You're just going to get like, or sorry, a burrito. I said in this example, you're going to get a burrito, but it's not going to be like, it's not going to have any character to it. But you go to those locally owned places where they've got nothing to lose. They load it with everything. That's Canada. Canada's the big ass burrito.
It is. That's a great analogy.
Yeah.
Like Alberta itself, which is one of the provinces, is like Taco Time or Taco Bell burrito. But all of Canada is like your local mom and pop shop
burrito. It's true. Alberta is bigger than like most countries. So,
yeah, I think Alberta and England are roughly the same. So maybe Alberta is a hair bigger. But yeah, that's just a province. And there's 9 other provinces and 3 territories. So, yeah. Some of the provinces are pretty small, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah, New Brunswick.
Prince Edward Island.
PEI, yeah. Not real provinces.
Nova Scotia. Yeah. But overall, Canada is really big. It's a good song. Arrogant Worms. Check it out. Canada is really big. Speaking of songs, remember our last time we started this? Guess the song segment, Brad?
Oh, I do remember that, yeah.
Get your thinking cap on. Tell me when you got it on.
I keep it on.
Oh,
I even shower with it on.
You're always thinking.
It's waterproof.
Oh, well, so it's not made out of newspaper, is what you're saying.
Not laminated? The last time I checked.
No, just a waterproof thinking. So here it is. I'm going to read the lyrics like I'm reading poetry to you. I'm not going to say the words of the title if it ever comes up. Last time you didn't get the title, but you got Metallica, I believe.
And I got, no, I literally didn't get the name of either song, but I picked Metallica and Madonna, yeah. Both which were right.
Yes, we did 2. We're only going to do 1 this one. That was like the warm-up round. So are you ready?
I'm ready.
I'm not going to tell you the year. I'm not going to tell you the genre. I'm just going to read. Let me just make sure I know where. Okay, there's the title there. There's the title there. Okay, here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Guess the song on Brad Nels What's News. Nels reads the song, Brad guesses. And a 1, and a 2, and a 1, 2. here we go. All right, I don't know where I'm going, but I sure know where I've been. Hanging on the Promises and Songs of Yesterday. And I've made up my mind.
I know. This is
wasting no more time.
Yeah, this is Here I Go Again.
Here I Go Again. Here I Go Again. Do I keep searching for an answer? By who? I never seem to find what I'm looking for. Oh, Lord, I pray you give me the strength to carry on. Because
I know what it means to walk along the lonely street of dreams. Here I go again on my own. You're the only road I've ever known.
Yeah, like a drifter, I was born to walk alone. And I've made up my mind. I ain't wasting
no more time. Yeah, yeah.
Just another heart in need of rescue, waiting on love's sweet charity. And I'm going to hold on for the rest of my days, because I know what it means to walk along the lonely street of dreams. And it's Here I Go Again. Yes, by which band?
Oh, White something. White Snake, I think it is.
White Snake. You got it.
The reason I was thinking White Castle, but that's a restaurant.
Yeah, you walk into White Castle, they just blast you with this song. They're like, you're
this
like,
one's us.
Here I go again to White Castle. Making these bastards rich. Here I go again, White Castle. Ooh, all right, good one. Good one. Unqualified advice. I knew you'd get that one. Good 80s song, I believe. You're an 80s guy.
In spirit, yes. Not in age.
No, me neither. I was born in the 70s. That 1 year I lived in that 6 months I lived in the 70s in 1979. Define me, man. Disco. Woo! Just, man.
Only 70s 6-month-year-olds will remember.
only those who are 6 months old or younger in the 70s. 70s children. Yeah, July 5th, 1979. So, yeah. August, September, October, November, just 5 months of the 70s I lived. Man, they were wild. They were crazy. They were a simpler time, but they were the best of times. Unqualified advice. Brendnell asks us, where do we all go from here?
Just that's the question?
Yep. Where do we all go from here? Question mark. Like it's existential. It could be an actual, like this can go anywhere with this one. Where do we all go from here?
Is it like sort of like in the sense of where do we go after, like from here as in the earth? Like what happens after we die?
I don't know. Or where do we go when we burn, the whole earth burns? What planet do we go next? It just says, where do we all go from here? However you want to take that, Brad.
So my interpretation of this question, where do we go from here? Is I'm going to interpret it as here as being sort of our state of being right now. And I think the only place we can go from here is there.
Mm-hmm. From here to there.
From here to there, because there's really nowhere else to go. And I think more accurately speaking, unless it's a hypothetical sense, where do we really go? Well, I mean, it's been proven time and time again that the only place there is to go from here in history is here, because all that's ever been is here.
Are you there, Brad?
All that's ever will be is here, because the second here is no longer here, then there is no longer in us to leave this here, because we are the here. So really, 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 we're in a constant cycle of here. So the only place to go from here is just more here, whether it be the here from before or the here forever after. Thereafter, leading me to my point, I don't know.
I mean, you sound like you know. So
I think after we die, if that was the interpretation of the question, I like to believe that we go to a place where every time you stretch your back, it cracks just perfectly.
Oh, and you feel just right.
And you feel just right. Also, in this place as well, I'm not going to designate it as heaven, but whatever this place is, whatever it may be, I believe the most important qualification is you don't have to tip. I feel like, but like the waiters are happy working. I want them to be happy, but I feel like
they're not putting "I quit" on 50-foot high signs.
If we just removed tipping from society, I feel like for a lot of us out here who are a lot more broke, like I would appreciate it, unless they ask for it. But there's so many places that you go to, and they're like, the machine automatically is like okay, how much are you tipping? And it's like, whoa.
I always hit other than zero.
Other than zero, exactly. But like, bro, it's so awkward because they're right there watching you. It's like, bro, it's like, how much percent? And every button you click is going to be another 5 minutes of waiting. It's like, bro, 0%. You didn't do anything. You heated up a burger and you handed it to me. Like, if you're giving me service and all that, absolutely. Here you go. And you're making, you don't get tipped at a fast food restaurant. What are you doing?
I agree.
Not that you don't deserve the tip, but like, you. I'm sorry. I'm not paying extra for my meal for something that, because the tip is for that extra, you know, the above and beyond. Like, it's not like an anti-tipping thing, but I feel like, anyway.
Yeah, you sit down in a restaurant and get tipped. If they work hard for it, they do the things they're supposed to serve you and give you a service.
Wouldn't it be funny if in this place, the tipping that we do is you just tip them over? Like, instead of giving them extra money, just knock them on their ass.
Wherever we go from here, if they do a good job, you just push them over. Bang.
Yeah,
and they get up and they're like, all right. They ring the bell and everyone else cheers in the back. And then all the workers tip each other over because the guy front got tipped. And everyone's getting tipped. Tipped,
not tipsy. That's a whole different.
Yeah. I like where we go from here, Brad. I like your answer. I'm just going to say this. I'm going to go from this room I'm in to downstairs to fold laundry and watch some seasons of Survivor. That's where I'm going from here. I don't know.
We all go to the great laundry basement in the sky.
Yes.
Survivor season 30.
I just hope wherever we go from here, it's just fun. We tip everybody. Just tip people on the street. No more high fives, handshakes. When you just tip people over.
But I mean, I think the only way to really approach this, where do we go from here? Well, I feel like life and where you consider yourself is much more contingent on your state of mind than your actual physical location. So it's not as much where do we go from here. Where do you go from here? If you are content with who you are, where you are is most likely going to be all right.
I firmly believe each and every one of us is exactly where, however you want to choose, God, destiny, the universe, faith, whatever it is, you're probably going and you're probably at where you're supposed to be. I mean, you defied the odds to get here. We all did. And because if one little sperm or one cell, egg cell had been different, you wouldn't be you. So
bro, you're every one of us is an Olympic goddamn champion.
More so, like the odds we've defied to be us, just looking at our mom and dad the day, afternoon, evening, night, moment, whenever it was, wherever it was, that two cells, if it had been a different one, different sperm, you'd be different. Now to add that to your grandparents and then your great grandparents and go down the list.
Impossible.
And here you are. And some of us are rich. Some of us are poor. But I don't focus on money. I just focus on positivity and love and life and enjoying every moment I can out of each day. And I've learned the key to, and we've gone off topic here, but maybe not. The key to getting to where you want to go, Brad, is money. You're in control. Not money. You're in control of your happiness. So not the world. Everything is focused to, oh, look at this new car. You need this new car. The world's telling us what we need to be happy. But the truth is you're in control of your happiness. So control your happiness and you'll get to where you go from here and you'll be exactly where you need to be. So,
but I will say, I don't have a single problem that money wouldn't immediately solve.
you just have a bunch of money and you'll just spend it all. You'll just buy bigger, better things, but you'll never find happiness, man. You need to take control of your happiness.
Maybe I couldn't buy happiness, but I could buy myself out of a lot of unhappiness.
You already said you're leaving for school and you're going to miss the venerable pee-pee. So
I'll build my own.
And that has nothing to do with that. You'll just have your own pee-pee, eh? What would you put in your pee-pee?
I'm not having this conversation.
Anyway, this was a great question. Where do we go from here? Because I feel like it's a Lord of the Boys of the Island question. We could have a great debate on that island, the Boys of the Island. We really got to get that podcast going. Or did you start that already?
I did. Well, I did kind of like just sort of like a test episode thing, but I never really did anything.
It was a hockey. Like, this is a great topic. could talk on it for hours. We talked on it too long. Let's do our last two stories, Brad. You want to go first or second?
Well, I did the one before last, so I'll let you close it out. I'll do a pretty short one. I mean, this one's kind of bizarre. The Olympics, they're doing film hockey. The headline is Olympic cameraman stopped filming field hockey to focus on a cockroach in the game's final minutes. The video is truly bizarre. The game is very close. And it's very intense. And the cameraman just kind of turns the camera to just this little cockroach. It's just kind of crawling around and it stays on there for a good long time. And we don't really know what happens in the match. But I will say that little guy do be scooting around. He's certainly out there.
That just tells you how interesting field hockey is.
Yeah, he'd rather watch a cock. Honestly, the cockroach was more interesting. Nobody makes news articles about field hockey, but they are about the cockroach. So,
was this a woman's field hockey or a men's field hockey? I have a feeling it was men's. Because if it was women's, it was women's. I mean, men playing field hockey. I don't know if they've ever heard of ice and ice hockey, but yeah, women playing field. I take ice hockey over. I hate when other places go, oh, Canada loves their ice hockey. No, we love hockey. It's just hockey.
That's what hockey is.
Like, stop calling it ice hockey. Well, we play field hockey over here. Oh, so you're not playing actual hockey.
Wow, Americans love their meat and bun burgers. No, that's what a burger is.
Americans love the sides of cows put on hot flaming grills and slathered in barbecue sauce. Yeah, it's called ribs. No, the sides of the pig and the cow. Yeah, ribs. Like, hockey is hockey. Yeah, you want to call it field hockey? Great. I feel like you're adding the word hockey after to make it seem like it's this physical, fast, hard contact sport. I don't think so. I mean, it's a bunch of men and women hunched over, like, with short little canes they stole from their grandfathers, and they turned them upside down to hit a ball with. I mean, at least do hurling. If you haven't seen hurling, check out hurling. Now, that's a sport. But field hockey?
I'm always – hurling is a great sport. I don't know if – I also would recommend Turkish oil wrestling. But, no, it's always gonna blow my mind that the fact that, like – the NHL and all that is like how many Canadian markets there are that they could capitalize on with teams. Like, you're having trouble like with Florida or like Columbus or something like that.
Oh, bro, Arizona.
You literally put a team in Saskatchewan and you would pull out. Like, it's Canada. Like, people don't understand.
Brad, you could put a team and build a rink here in Vegreville, sponsored by the Vegreville PP. The Pasenka Plaza sponsors it. And you could sell 18,000 tickets for it.
Easily.
You could put it anywhere. You could put it in the Yukon. You could put it in Northwest Territories. You can put in none of it. You could put it anywhere.
Well, none of it, maybe not. But still, like...
I don't know, man. I think people would show up. It'd be a destination game.
There's just such a large market here, and it blows my mind that we've never gotten something in, like, Hamilton or something like that. Like,
it's because the Canadian dollar is not worth as much as the American dollar.
I suppose, but still, like, you'd have such a, like, the fact that Quebec City is still not back in the league is mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. But anyways. Saskatoon could have a team. I mean, if Winnipeg can have a team, Saskatoon or Regina, they could have a team. Quebec, Halifax could have a team. I mean, yeah. You know, Whitehorse, so then Edmonton can be the cold northern city of the NHL. Although it's 40 freaking degrees here for the last 3 months. Figure that one out. And that's above. Usually when we say it's 40 degrees, we're talking on the negative side. Right? It's weird. It's such a strange year. All those Albertans and their oil vehicles just ruining it for everybody. My story. Time traveler from 2582 bizarrely claims Earth will face 3 days of darkness.
When?
He doesn't tell because he's a time traveler, and one of the rules of time traveling is you come back in time, you can't specifically tell people the date of things because it would alter the course of humanity.
Okay, well, maybe I dedicate my life to trying to find a way to cure darkness, and I mess up the timeline.
Well, maybe it's you, Brad. Anyway, a bonkers TikTok video from a self-proclaimed time traveler warns, do not look up in the sky at the light coming from the pyramids. as Earth is plunged into a 3-day blackout. So I guess you got to be in Egypt if you're okay, Brad. You won't mess it up if you're not in Egypt. A man who ridiculously claims he is a time traveler from the year 2582 has predicted Earth will face a blackout lasting 3 days within the next decade. There you go. Getting a little closer. In a bonkers video, the man bizarrely claims of a planet being plunged into 72 hours of darkness, and he urges people to start preparing for the phenomenon. He speaks total rubbish, but people are eating it up. He's amassed a staggering 636,000 followers on social. We can't get 6.36 listeners from Vegreville, but this guy can claim we're going to have 3 days of darkness and get 636,000 followers.
Wait a minute.
It tells us when it happens. Believe it or not, this has indeed happened on June 6th, 2026.
Okay.
Starting at 0 hours, 0 seconds, and 0 minutes UTC on June 6th, 2026, the Earth will enter into 3 days of darkness. The video adds, do not look at them. Do not look up in the sky at the light coming from the pyramids. Do not use any man-made lighting except candles. I think this guy is tripping.
Because, yeah, I was just going to say, like, prepare for nighttime. I have a flashlight.
No, you can only use candles, man. Go back to Amish times, dude. I feel like that's how you should talk. The time traveler replied to questions that I will explain more in the details. It should clear all the doubts you have left. And I guess, wait.
Did he do that?
In one video, a man claimed he went to the year 8973 and telepathic cyborgs replaced humans. Oh, man, the crazies just come out. they're like trolling him with their own claims and just, yeah. Anyway, yeah, we're going to have 3 days of darkness, Brad.
That'd be kind of nice. We could all have like a sleepover.
Could we just sleep 3 straight days? I mean, you're not supposed to look at the lights coming from the pyramids. Last I checked, is the Vegreville Pastanka Plaza, forever known as the Vegreville Peepee, building pyramids? Is Vantage Builders doing some pyramids in the area?
That'd be funny.
I mean, they build everything, it seems, in this town right now, so...
They do. I mean, they've been helming the pee-pee pretty intensely.
They got their hands all over that pee-pee, if you know what I mean. Like, their fingerprints are everywhere.
Oh, my God.
That Pastanka Plaza has been touched by a lot of construction workers. Well, that's what it is, the Vegreville pee-pee. You established that at the start of the show, Brad. I'm just going with your news reporting. Like, like, you are a multiple news award-winning reporter, so why would you steer us wrong? It's clearly the Vegreville pee-pee. People are going to come from Azerbaijan to Vegreville, Alberta, and they're like, where's this Vegreville pee-pee?
You mean the Pastanka? No, the Pastanka Plaza. No,
Pastanka Plaza. You would think the Pastanka Plaza would be near the Pastanka.
Yeah, you would. Nope, different side of town.
Welcome to Vegreville, where we make up the rules as we go. Yeah. So, Brad, are you excited for June, whatever, 2026? That's coming. We're getting closer to it by the second. Literally,
Have I ever shared Vegreville's motto with you?
Nope. What is it?
The motto is nobody cares. That's not actually the motto, but nobody cared enough to give us one.
It's true. We don't have a motto. Everywhere else has mottos. I feel when everywhere else starts tearing down mottos, Vegreville will be like, I got this idea. And if it shows up in the next couple, like within the year, we know Jameson Brown listens to this podcast.
No, I should hit him up about that. We need a motto.
Vegreville. Pot shops galore. And liquor too.
And we're bringing in all the hemp stuff as well.
Yeah, we got Hemp Park or whatever they call it on the west by Pastanka. The Pastanka, that's where Pastanka Plaza should be. That's where they're building the Hemp Park. I don't know what it's called. It's an industrial park. I mean, we're gonna be world leaders in hemp, I guess.
Yeah, we are.
I mean, hey, why not? Like, we're starting to be world leaders in largest Easter eggs, right? So
I think we've always been the world leader. Yeah, I don't think there was anybody challenging us.
I don't think so. We're the world leader in not having a slogan.
That's Vegreville. Does Ohio welcome have to a motto?
Probably. Welcome to Vegreville. There's our motto.
Shout out to a motto I noticed the other day. I was at Smashburger with my grandma.
Nice.
You want to know what the Smashburger logo is?
What is it? Smash this burger into your gut.
No, taste-wise, smashing is better.
Hmm. That's a weird. I'm sure no one's made fun of that at all and thought weird thoughts about smashing.
Good old family restaurant.
I mean, I think that could be the PP's motto too. Taste why the PP is better.
Taste why PP is better.
Oh man, that's the Pasenka Palazzo. Taste why the PP is better. Smashing burgers and yeah, we've had a lot of hands touch our PP and construction of the location.
Hey, they're save really, it for Reggie, all right? He liked all the PP talk.
They're really digging quite the holes over there by that PP.
They are.
So
honestly, though, shout out to them. They have been building that thing so fast.
One quick question. This is totally, unless you live in Vegreville, in which we've established no one in this town listens, what is going on? What? The weirdest Main Street construction repair work ever. And, like, just pick one intersection. Don't leapfrog to six different ones.
I think they started it, and then they realized, like, oh, shit, we just painted the sidewalk rainbow for Pride Month, and we're digging it up as soon as it ends.
And then they're like, oh, now, okay, so we're going to go three blocks north and do that one, and then we're going to go four blocks south and start close this one. It's like musical chairs, but with construction clothes on. And there's no pre-warning or anything. You're just driving, and something like, oh, shit.
There's no then road. You turn.
It's like, ah, now I got to turn here. And I don't know what they're doing, but it doesn't look like they're doing anything except digging weird little foot-wide holes and filling it with concrete.
Oh, well, you remember that time that they literally dug up almost all of Main Street and then were, like, too lazy to actually finish it, and then it started snowing and they were
until November.
Out. Yeah. But we just didn't have a Main Street for, like, a year.
This shows why Vegreville doesn't have a motto, because Vegreville. We don't care.
Nobody cares, dude.
Nobody cares. There's your motto, Jameson Brown, Vegreville. Nobody cares.
Did you see the way they did the Walmart parking lot? Like, we're going to do the left half, and then we're going to do the right half, and then we're going to
okay, well, no. Correction. The left third, the right third, the center third.
Yes. Yeah, the right third.
I'm actually fine with it. They've done it quite well, and they're done it fast. So if this was the Vegreville people in charge, not Walmart super smart, Brainiac world leaders, they would have done like three stalls here, tore up four stalls there, jumped over, like, you know.
So they by random stall.
So the Walmart paving crew is looking brilliant compared to the Vegreville crosswalk crew, which
hey, don't be trash talking the Vegreville crosswalking crew. They'll come for you.
They're
gonna get your street next if you aren't careful.
You know what?
They're not actually doing anything. They're just digging them up.
If they're listening, I'll be flabbergasted. I'll sign whatever they need signed as their favorite podcasting / co-host celebrity, and I'll tell them where you live, Brad, because I now know where you live for sure.
That's true. You do,
and you know where I live. No one's safe on this podcast anymore.
I've done the podcast with. I know where you live.
I know where you live. I'm Batman. Why does Batman have to talk like that? I mean, I guess it works for Superman. He just puts glasses on and no one knows he is. I mean, which rich billionaire can afford to have all these toys and fight crime?
Yeah, I Bruce like Wayne. If he was real, we'd be able to narrow down the list pretty fast.
Like if Edmonton had some rich billionaire running around fighting crime, Daryl Cates. Like, no, we would bro, just sit Darryl in his Cain. House and see him. Oh, there it goes in the Batmobile. Hey, Daryl. Ah, damn, they know who I am. Right?
I'm telling you, Daryl Cates would not be the superhero in that story. That man is a supervillain, and you cannot convince me otherwise.
Okay, but you know what I mean. All right, who's the supervillain who's, like, flying space shuttles to steal the moon like he's Gru in Despicable Me? Daryl Cates. Like, you can't stretch your mind very far to find the answer, I feel. Right? Like, who's this dark-haired, handsome man flying around? Oh, it's Superman. Oh, it looks an awful lot like Clark Kent, but he's got glasses on, so that can't be him. We know guys with glasses aren't tough and strong. Ha, 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 ha.
Daryl Cates always made me think a bit of, like, Christian Bale in American Psycho. Yes. He kind of has that vibe. Which, I mean, Christian Bale plays Batman, so I guess do with that what you will. I got to go have supper.
All right. Well, do me a favor. Join me for the intro.
Oh, yeah. I forgot that you do that.
We'll do the intro right quick. So, anyway, hey, that's been Brad Nels. What's news? Where we give you the news you didn't know you needed to?
Absolutely.
Absolutely no, I guess. Yeah. Perfect. Brad, it's been a slice. Let's do it again sometime, shall we?
Yep. See you in a minute.
I mean, we're catching up to Yegg Sports. They've disappeared.
They have. The second the world needed them, they disappeared.
Yeah. Anyway. Off season. What off season? Anyway. Okay. Thanks everyone for listening. Brad, I'll talk to you in a minute. Thank you for tuning into this episode of Brad Nell's What's News, where we give you the news you didn't know you needed to know. If you enjoyed the show, please feel free to let us know. You can go on Twitter and go to @AudioNells and leave a comment there about this show and check out other shows that we produce and put out there in the podcast universe. Or you can go to facebook.com/BradNellsWhat'sNews, give us a like, and put a comment there. Maybe you have a question for unqualified advice that you'd want us to answer on a show. So feel free to do that. So once again, follow us on Twitter and give us a like on Facebook. And thank you for listening to Brad Nell's What's News.